the sky, and your spirit is one with me. Your wings span the mighty ocean, your eyes see everything. The slightest of your motions can make the continents ring. Yet in all your might and glory, you vanished from the skies, leaving just another story amidst millions of man-made.
All right. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And I hope you're going to have a happy New Year today. Or at least a rowdy New Year's Eve. All right. Glancing through my email and trying to check what's up. Lakota Nation, the Lakota Sioux, who gave the world legendary warriors Sitting Bull and Crazy Horse, have withdrawn from treaties with the United States. Indian rights activist Russell Means says the Lakota Indians feel that we are no longer citizens of the United States of America, and all those who live in the five-state area that encompasses our country are free to join us, said Russell Means. A delegation of Lakota leaders has delivered a message to the State Department and said they were unilaterally withdrawing from treaties they signed with the federal government of the U.S., some of them more than 150 years ago. The group also visited Bolivia, Chile, South African, and Venezuelan embassies and would continue on their diplomatic mission to take it overseas in the coming weeks and months. Lakota country includes parts of Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, and Wyoming. The new country would issue its own passports and driver's license, and living there would be tax-free, provided residents renounce their U.S. citizen, Mr. Means said. The implications are monumental. Think of the corporate drones who are scurrying about even now, worried that the lucrative contracts given them by the federal government will now have to be renegotiated with the rightful owners. Oil and mining interest will be the least of it. Water rights will need to be addressed. So will the land leases. And it would certainly behoove members of the Freedom Movement to query the Lakota Nation what form of nation they are setting up. Will it be significantly freer than the U.S.? Will non-Indians be welcomed as equals? Or will it be accorded second-class citizenship? The best of all the implications, that many will be welcomed by the new Lakota Nation as long as they renounce their U.S. citizenship. Organizations such as Free State Wyoming and New Hampshire should be contacting the new nation now. Individuals might well wish to contact the Lakota Nation embassies and consulates. A little note, we'll keep an eye on it and see what happens on that. Our number here, if you want to call in, is 800-313-9443. Tell me what your plans are for the new year. What are you going to do? How are you going to live it? What are we going to do about liberty in America?
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
All right, we're back, and sorry, just deleting all the crap in my inbox, and we're getting the next issue ready to go to press. We'll open up the phone lines today. I want to get your opinion. And David Michael Green sent us an article. He said, I write articles each week with titles like Everything I Need to Know About the Regressive Right I Learned in Junior High School, Conservatism as Politics for Kindergartens. He says, I regret doing so very much. Believe it or not, I don't like spewing venom, sarcasm, and rage all over my computer keyboard. I particularly don't like it because I have friends who are conservative, and it's not my nature to trash-talk anyone, let alone friends. Indeed, none of this is in my nature. I don't start fights, and I don't go looking for it, and I'm not an angry, bitter, mean-spirited person, but I can understand how I might be seen as such in the absence of the appropriate context, and it truly bothers me that I might be so misperceived so negatively, but I don't intend to change, and I don't intend to stop making the arguments contained in my rants. I'm angry for a very good set of reasons, and I'm angry because I care about my country just the way conservatives claim to. Obviously, written by a liberal here. He says, I'm angry, and in short, because I'm a patriot and defender of the ideas that America is supposed to stand for. And what I really want to know is why those on the right aren't equally outraged. I kind of like this because I've been accused as being a right-wing extremist so many times. so many times that, during the Clinton era, that I just didn't do any good to deny it. And so I said, well, now that the right-wing radicals are in power, I guess I must be a liberal now. Maybe. Maybe. Maybe not. But let's continue and see what this guy has said. He said, I was a teenager when Nixon was being Nixon, destroying democracy at home, napalming civilians in Vietnam, conducting secret wars in Laos and Cambodia, employing racism to win elections. I knew at that age, I knew enough to dislike what I saw and what I learned of what Nixon had done to innocent Americans even earlier before I was born in order to serve their political ambitions. But I didn't know enough to feel the genuine rage of what regressives were doing to my country and to the world. I began to experience those feelings in the 20s, first as truly sociopathic, insane gun laws in this country helped claim the life of John Lennon, and then as Ronald Reagan began systematically to turn his back on the poor and the middle class in order to further enrich this country's already wealthy economic elites. I felt deep shame and outrage that America, the country that had supported, if not literally created, every two-bit dictator in Latin America, our backyard, well beyond, for a century, began to murder Nicaraguan peasants in order to halt their struggle to free themselves from the economic and political tyranny of one of those Washington-run Caudillo clients, the Somoza regime. Then I watched in disgust as Newt Gingrich and his merry band of infantile hypocrites impeached a president for lying about a consensual sexual affair while they were themselves all doing worse, dumping a wife while she was laying on her hospital bed recovering from cancer surgery, fathering children with the mistress, or carrying on many years-long affairs. All of this was truly noxious. Nothing to that point had prepared me for the regressive politics of our time, and they turned me very angry indeed. Regressive, I like to call people like me Bush haters, but it's impossible to address that claim before proceeding because the entire intent of hurling that label at president's critics is to undermine their credibility. If you simply hate the man, they imply, you're not rational and your critiques can be dismissed. But it isn't that simple, not by a long shot. First, it should be noted that the regressive right is far wider a phenomenon than just one person. It currently includes an entire executive branch administration, and almost a year ago, more than half of Congress, a majority of the Supreme Court, and probably a majority of the lower federal courts are based on the point of being a joke mainstream media and tons of lobbyists, think tanks, and profitable industries. But as to George W. Bush himself, I suspect it's quite fair to say that most Americans, even the most progressives, do not originally despise or loathe him. I didn't. I certainly didn't admire the guy, but I think he was remotely nor did I think he was remotely prepared to be president of the United States, not by the way, that I was particularly impressed with Al Gore in 2000. Bush's campaign is a center-right pragmatist, a compassionate conservative, in his words, much as his father had been, and I expect that's how he would govern if being elected. You know, more embarrassing most of the time than truly destructive. I mention all this because it's important to note that what has and what has not been responsible for my anger, and to make clear the attempts to dismiss that anger as some Bush-hating bias or predisposition or false, employed to destroy the messenger when one doesn't care about the message he's carrying. If Bush had governed like he campaigned, I'm sure I would have disliked him, but neither hated him nor his policies nor experienced the rage I feel about what he's done to this country and to the world. Frankly, my feelings toward another center-right Bush presidency would have been likely been largely the same as my feelings toward the center-right Clinton presidency, which had preceded it. But he hasn't governed anywhere near how he campaigned. He wasn't even elected properly, and I do, in fact, feel huge anger at the damage done. Moreover, I cannot for the life of me imagine how anyone, even conservatives, could feel different, even to the wealthy, whose interests this president is wholly devoted, have to sleep at night. Even they have children who will inherit a broken country existing in an environmentally and politically hostile world. No doubt they figure that big enough fences, mean enough private armies, and loads of central air conditioning will insulate them from the danger, from the damage. I don't feel that the Bush campaign, this gentleman says, fought hard to win the 2000 election. There certainly was a legitimate goal for them to pursue. It nauseates me beyond belief that their agents in the Florida government disenfranchised tens of thousands of African Americans in order to keep them from voting Democratic. It sickens me that they gathered up a bunch of congressional staffers pretending to be an angry local mob and stoned election canvassers using pure Gestapo techniques to shut down the most fundamental act of democracy, counting the votes. I don't mind that the Bush campaign took the election to the Supreme Court, even though they were simultaneously accusing the Gore folks of being litigious. What disgusts me beyond words is that a regressive majority of the court anointed Bush president in a sheer act of partisan politics, and they were so anxious to achieve that end that they repudiated their own judicial policies previously espoused in case after case, from states' rights to equal protection to judicial restraint, and that they were conscious of what they were actually doing, that they took the unprecedented step of stating that no lasting principles were involved in the matter and that their decision would forever apply to this case and this case only. Once in office, there was still the possibility that the administration would govern as it had campaigned, as a rather centrist, status quo-style government, perhaps especially tempered from arrogance and overstretched by the knowledge that the country was deeply divided and that Bush had, in fact, actually lost the popular vote. In fact, they did precisely the opposite. The first order of business, considering the top priority for the administration, argued that the only thing they were ever completely serious about was their tax restructuring program. It was grim enough that the tax cuts, as under Reagan, were dramatically tilted in favor of the wealthy. What made them especially disgusting was that, again, as under Reagan, this whole revenue reductions were not only accompanied by expenditure cuts, but by the fact were coupled with increased spending, can you say, voodoo economics, which his father had once had before he treasonously changed his name, his tune, to win the vice presidency, leading to the presidency for himself. But he was right for the first time before he put personal ambition and transparent and security ahead of the national interest. And thus we witnessed the only possible result of the combination of massive revenue cuts and continued spending increases, astronomical debt, as well as over $9 trillion in total and rapidly growing. What I want to know is how can we, especially so-called family oriented, so-called fiscal conservatives, not be outraged, not be standardized, not be boiling with anger at the debt we have transferred to our children. I agree on that. Listen.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
All right, we're back, and I'm going to do this in the Free American, too. You know, occasionally, if we take a look at other sides, we can get a better grasp on where we're at and what we're doing. You know, the whole liberal-conservative thing is a joke to me. It's a joke. Oh, if you're liberal, what, you want welfare, you want unemployment, you want, what do you want? You want your Social Security, you paid into it, you earn it. You know, we can drop back out, we can drop out, we can not use Social Security cards, we can live pretty much like a hermit in a cave, and that's not what I want either. What I want is freedom and liberty, and do, Are conservatives you know, the people that really want freedom and liberty, or do they want control? And the liberals, are the liberals as bad as we made out that they were and that we felt they were under the Clinton administration? Is it's the conservatives under Bush here, And, oh, by God, I mean, people were willing to think maybe Clinton had some faults, not playing with cigars and Monica Lewinsky, but, you know, transferring our manufacturing technique over to China, forcing us to buy our combat boots from China. But was that a liberal issue? Well, I don't think so. And now I'm looking at this liberal's word, you know, and I've questioned the liberals too. When we were bombing Iraq, when we killed over a million men, women, and children over there, who do we point the finger at? We can't point the finger at the liberals. We can point the finger at George Bush, but why weren't the liberals standing up and screaming at the top of their lungs the way we did when we were losing 58,000 troops in Vietnam? The this man, let me see his name here, David Michael Green. Talking about the debt. Why aren't we boiling with anger at the debt we have transferred to our own children? Also, we could avoid paying our own way like every generation before us. He says, I'm outraged at, as well, at how the administration has polarized the country in the wake of one of the greatest traumas ever experienced. Let us leave aside the ample evidence demonstrating that the Bush team was asleep at the wheel before 9/11. Or perhaps far worse, a set of facts which is noteworthy in part because progressives did not use him to attack the president and score cheap but early political points. But the administration did precisely that. It's disgusting, fills me with anger, how they used a national security crisis to win partisan political contest, how they scheduled a vote on Iraq war resolution right before the midterm elections of 2002, thus positioning the gravest decision a country can make by forcing Democrats to choose between voting their conscience and campaign accusations of being soft on national security. It boils my blood that these chicken hawks, almost none of whom ever showed up for duty in Vietnam when it was their turn, would dare accuse Max Cleland of being weak on national security, a guy who gave three of his four limbs to the very cause on the battlefields of Southeast Asia. How could they run ads morphing his face into Saddam or bin Laden when his opponent, of course, took Vietnam deferments just like Cheney and Ashcroft and the rest? How could they accuse him of being weak on national defense because he opposed the bureaucrat reshuffling to create Homeland Security Department when Bush himself had opposed it? That is, before Rove politicized it by inserting union-busting language applying to tens of thousands of civil servants covered by the act. It nauseates me beyond words that this president could use the tragedy of 9/11 to justify invading a country that had nothing to do with the attack whatsoever. It enrages me that those who had the courage to oppose this policy, so transparently deceitful, and it truly was, from the proof of the Downing Street memos to Colin Powell's charade at the UN to the assurances that the U.S. knew where the world weapons of mass destruction were, to the rejection of the weapons inspector's request to have two more months to finish the job, were labeled as traitors and worse for telling the truth, and that 4,000 Americans and over a million Iraqis have died for these lies. And speaking of treason, what part of Looking Glass have we fallen through? When the government of the United States exposes its own CIA undercover agents in order to punish her spouse for revealing administration lies about the war, when did that cease to be cause of outrage, especially among our super patriotic friends on the right? How is it possible not to be angry looking at the destruction of Hurricane Katrina and the bungled response of the government before, during, and after that tragedy? Indeed, even journalists who spent so many years licking government boots that their tongues had long turned black, moved to outrage at the magnitude of that failure, and with the president, meanwhile, on a stage in San Diego, pretending to play guitar at a Republican fundraiser. We'll be right back, and we'll take your calls. I want to know, are you outraged? Let me hear from you at 800-313-94.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Time here. I'd like to hear from you today. How's your New Year's going? What do you think is ahead of us? And I personally think it looks pretty grim. 800-313-9443. This next issue of the Free American will show you how the attacks on our veterans are happening. And to me, that's a third stage of a communist takeover. The first two, they go after the farmers, and certainly there's a war on the farmers and small independent farmers, too, under the National Animal Identification System. And two is the attacks on the intelligentsia. They tapped our phones, and they tried to take out people like me, like Mark Kornke, like others. Like Ezra Pound, like Joe McCarthy. And, the liberals can get upset with Joe McCarthy while he was trying to take out innocent people who were simply communists, you know. And you really need to study the Communist Manifesto, the Marx philosophy, in order to know what we're up against. If you had done that, if they had done that to you in schools, then you would know that every plank on the Communist Manifesto is installed in America today. And the people that are smart enough to know that, the intelligentsia, are the ones they went after and are going after. And the third stage, well, that's the soldiers and the policemen that are loyal to the regime, Campos and Ramos, or Campion and Ramos. Nacho Ramos, that's the police officers they've taken out. And they were an example, just the way Waco is an example to the American people not to resist by force of arms. This is a message to the Border Patrol. Don't shoot these illegals. Don't, you know, that's why we've got so many laws against protecting ourselves. You can't shoot a burglar because, well, you might be killing, or you would be killing the lawyer's employees. Yeah, let's go back. And see what this liberal, David Michael Green, kind of a long letter, but hey, he says, I'm outraged as well by one of the most insane and avoidable tragedies of all human history, the slow-motion Holocaust of global warming. How can anyone not be angry at a political movement and a government that puts short-term profits of one or two industries ahead of the viability of the entire planet? How can anyone not be mortified that we, 1/20th of the world's population, who generate 1/4 of the greenhouse gases causing the problem, but not only do nothing about the problem, but actively try to block the rest of the world from saving all of us from this folly? Well, I don't know about this here. Here again, we've got somebody that's bought in because based on his political philosophy here, he's bought into the whole global warming plan. It ain't nothing to do with greenhouse gases, but we should be changing our energy supply. We should be running on water instead of gasoline. If you want to use the oil in the ground to make plastic, no problem. Just figure out a way to degrade it so we don't have a continent-sized plastic island floating in the middle of the Pacific. He says, Green says, I'm furious because the Bush administration and its ideological allies have shredded the Constitution at every turn, destroying the institutional gift of those they pretend to revere, but only when it's convenient, to upholding their own depredations. This president, who has gotten virtually everything he ever wanted throughout his life and his presidency, once privately exclaimed in frustration at not getting something he wanted when he wanted it, it's just a goddamn piece of paper. And that is precisely how he has treated America's founding document, his signing statements, probably over 1,000 in count now, completely obliterate the checks and balance principle of the Constitution and its most central idea. He admitted spying on Americans without warrant smashes the Fourth Amendment. His fiasco in Guantanamo and beyond mocks due process and habeas corpus guarantees. His invasion of Iraq against the international law codified in the U.N. Charter, to which the United States is a signatory, violates the constitutional requirement to hold such treaties as the highest law of the land, although Americans have never seen a presidency with such imperial ambitions. And again, he told you that too. This would be a lot easier if this was a dictatorship and I was a dictator. And Green and I both agree on this and say this: anyone who cares about the Constitution should be furious. A year from now, it's quite possible that Hillary Clinton would be president of the United States. Would our conservative friends silently countenance let alone victoriously support such a monarchy in the White House if it belonged to Queen Hillary rather than King George? I think not. We could go on from here. The administration and the movement it fronts at least gets high marks for consistency. Everything they touch turns to stone. And when Joe McCarthy made the comment about these communists being stupid, James Forrestal, who they threw out of the 10th floor of the Bethesda Naval Hospital with a bed with a sash wrapped around his neck, told McCarthy, consistency is not the mark of stupidity. If they were just stupid, occasionally they would make a mistake in our favor. The administration, says Green, and the movement in front gets high marks for consistency. There's Pat Tillman, Terry Shavaro. There's a politicization of the U.S. attorneys and the corruption, a delay in Abramoff. There's North Korea, Pakistan, and the Middle East. There's a shame, a torture, and rendition. There's the wrecking of the human, the American military and the country's reputation abroad. There's Afghanistan and the failure to capture bin Laden, who Bhutto said is dead, and she's dead now, and much, much more. But above all, and driving all, there's kleptocracy, the doing of everything in every way to facilitate the looting of the national treasury. And we don't have a dime in our treasury. We owe it all to the bankers. What an unbelievable record of deceit, destruction, hypocrisy, incompetence, treason, and greed. What a tragic tale of debt, lost wars, lost stolen elections, environmental crisis, constitutional shredding, national shame, and diminished security. All done in the most pious among us, of course. Merry Christmas, eh? I guess these are our presents, all carefully wrapped in spin, contempt, preemptive attacks on any of us, impertinent enough to say, no thanks, Santa. So you're right. You're right. I'm angry about what's been done to my country and what's been done to my country in my name. Why should anyone... Why? How could anyone who claims to care about America not be? Now, David Michael Green is a professor of political science at Hofstra University in New York. He's delighted to receive readers' reactions to his articles at DMG at regressiveantidote.net, but regrets that time constraints do not allow him to respond. Do not always allow. And if you want to check more of his rants out, you can go to regressiveantidote.net. Okay. And, we got a few people in the chat room. Not a lot. Yes, Andrew Mitch, Alan, and Pete Looker, and of course, little cutie from Canada. But, let's see here. I think, let's see, a letter from Iraq. The following, this letter was written by a soldier in Iraq to 100 random voters in each of the 50 states. It was sent from Iraq as a plea for American voters to understand what our troops are feeling. And he says, his name is Joe, currently serving from my second deployment in Iraq as an Army officer. The biggest difference between this deployment and the last one are location within Iraq, the job, much busier, less free time, dramatic the duration. The last deployment was 12 months, this one 15. And I'm sure you're wondering why some random soldier in Iraq would write you a letter. There's several reasons, but the primary one would be obvious by the end. First, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I'm 26 years old. I've been married for almost 7 years. I have a son and daughter in elementary school. I grew up in Georgia, but I live in Colorado Springs now. I come from a long line of military officers, so I was sort of destined to serve. Although I only have 3.5 years in the Army, I've been wearing the uniform for 12 years, ROTC and junior ROTC. I have a degree in computer science, and I'm a music and movie enthusiast. Now that you know a little about me, I'll inform you what Iraq is really like. Iraq is a war-torn country in political and engineering shambles. When the U.S. invaded Iraq in 2003, the intent was to remove Saddam Hussein from power. Once that was done, the military then targeted all the Baaths, the members of Saddam's political party, because they were assumed to be loyal to Saddam. The problem with this eradication was that the Baaths were the people who managed Iraq's infrastructure. So our targeting caused the collapse of all their water, power, sewage, oil, and transportation capabilities. Also, because we dismantled their military, there was nobody to guard all of the thousands of artillery rounds and bullets that we stockpiled from Saddam's army. Where do you think the insurgents and terrorists got all their weapons, ammo, and IEDs, material to attack U.S. troops? These are the second-order effects of the U.S. policy to intervene in foreign countries. While our intentions might be good, Americans would be better off minding our own business and using diplomacy and trade to influence other nations. Now, this isn't Clay Douglas saying this. You know, right-wing, left-wing extremists, middle-of-the-road extremists, whatever the heck I am to you. This is a 26-year-old soldier in Iraq telling you the same thing that I'm telling you, and the same thing that Ron Paul is telling you, by the way. Considering that President Bush and Vice President Cheney have both stated that Iraq had nothing to do with the attacks on September 11, 2001, why did we invade Iraq? And why do we have a majority of our military concentrated in Iraq? Iraqis, and most Middle Easterns in general, are used to having a dictator. The cultures of their region have a long history of authoritarian rule. Iraq had a dictator before Saddam Hussein, and they will likely resort to a dictatorship when we leave. They don't care about democracy. They just want peace. Now, what if I told you democracy is a code word for communism now? This is not my conclusion. These are the words of the Iraqis I've talked to during my time here, and the truest assessment that nearly all politicians, general diplomats, and bureaucrats agree on is you cannot find a military solution to a diplomatic political problem. The surge is working. In recent months, attacks have gone down. Many soldiers are shocked at how long it's been since they hit an IED in a certain locations or received incoming mortar rounds hit their camp. While there's a correlation, more troops, less attack, there is no causation. Also, most of the influx of troops have been placed in Baghdad. This increase in volume simply displaced the terrorist insurgents into areas surrounding Baghdad. Since the surge began, there have been more innocent, non-combatant Iraqis killed and more soldiers have died. We've had 3 suicides in 2 weeks. Do you think the army attracts suicidal people? Or perhaps the cost of carrying out U.S. foreign policy is making soldiers suicidal. 15-month deployments, deployment extensions, stop less loss program, etc. How can anyone justify the deaths of thousands of people with optimistic predictions based on premature statistics? The truth is, the country is still war-torn, people are still attacking U.S. troops, and our military is still occupying their country. Studies have shown that the primary reason for suicide, terrorist attacks, is occupation. U.S. grows a lot of corn and wheat. What would Americans do if a foreign country that clearly consumes massive amounts of corn and wheat invaded the country to free Americans from the tyrannical regime of President Bush and set up bases around America? Would you believe that they only invaded to remove Bush from power? Wouldn't we fight them? Most American soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen signed their contract because they wanted to defend the United States. And here, this soldier is echoing what I've told you about myself. We all swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. How can we defend America and protect our Constitution from the other side of the world? We can't. And that's why I implore you to help keep America worth fighting for, even if it is something as simple as voting in your state's primary election, calling your senator to voice your opposition to a bill, or telling your friends and family to vote and contact your senators. There is a candidate who is running for president that breaks the typical mold of a corrupt politician. Not one single time in his 17 years Congress has Ron Paul voted to raise taxes. He served his country as a flight surgeon in the Air Force. He's a medical doctor. He's been married for 50 years, and he never voted yes on legislation. Especially, who's running for president that backs up his words with action. Every stance he takes is backed by legislation proposed in Congress. We got to take a break. Take your call, 800-313-9443. Call me.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
All right. you're back. And let me hear from you today. The number is 800-313-9443. And if you want to get busy, if you want to do something, if you want to be productive, let me tell you, we've got a tool that brings both sides to it. My goal is to bring liberals and conservatives together because we're all Americans first. And that's Americans of every color, race, or religion. Because our founding fathers gave that to us, part of our heritage, part of the thing that makes America strong. You want to sit over there on that park bench and chant Nam-myoho Renge-kyo, Nam-myoho Renge-kyo, you can do that. Or you can sit over under that tree over there and get down on your knees and pray to God, pray to Jesus, and nobody should bother you. That's America for us. And that means that both the the guy under the tree there, the guy in the tree, the guy hugging the tree, we've all got the same rights, we've all got the same opportunity, and we can all make up our own minds about what the hell is going on in our lives, in our country. That's why we and this soldier that I'm talking about took an oath to uphold the Constitution. Again, 800-313-9443. But if you want to help the free American, if you want to get more copies out, if you want to bring American together instead of chasing them away, splitting us down, liberals and conservatives, oh, those liberals are bad, oh, those conservatives are bad, then you are playing and following the script written for you by the elitist. They are masters at propaganda. They're masters at keeping apart, and I'm going to give you an example of how that's happened in just a moment. And if you support the free American, if you make a donation today, if you go to my website, you make a donation, you subscribe to it, okay, and then if you do that, you are supporting Ron Paul because I've got his picture on the back cover of this latest issue. And I'm talking about the veterans. I'm talking about the Veterans Disarmament Act. I'm talking about what is being done to Billy Miller up there in New Hampshire, being drugged out of existence like I was. But I'll take this call. Hello, who do I have?
Ron in Michigan.
Hi, Ron. How are you?
Oh, pretty good this morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to make the point that I think the Iraq adventure, whatever, is to keep most of their oil supply off the market. You know, they're only producing 500,000 barrels a day. Most of it's going to Israel. And
oh, by the way, Israel now wants all their foreign aid in euros.
Pardon? Yes, yes. But
Israel wants their foreign aid.
Which
is something like $80 billion a year, that we're underwriting one of the wealthiest countries in the world. And foreign aid, they want it in euros now because the dollar's sliding.
Right, yeah.
Hang on, stay with me, Ron.
Yeah.
We got to take a break here, and we'll be right back. And line up here. I'll take your calls, too. I want to hear from you. I value what you have to say. 800-313-9443. Go ahead.
With recent